This is called A Miracle Life, part one, because this is just on the reproduction part, and the next part is actually we'll actually be getting into the conception, after conception, forming in the womb. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." So where did we come from according to the word of God? Through God, he made male and female. That was one of the that's still a major setback, a major problem for the theory of evolution. Where did the female come from? Where did the male come from? They really have never figured. Now, they've traced back using mitochondrial DNA so far and came up with their first Eve, but they still have no clue where that first Eve came from. But God tells us all that. And then one of the very first commands, actually, in Genesis 1:28. A, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and what? Multiply." Multiply is another word for reproduction. Reproduce after your own kind. He had the animals do it, and he also had people do the same thing. But God set up boundaries. In Hebrews 13:4, it says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Now, this is a King James, which I normally use. That's my main text I always use. But this one is hard to understand, unless you've been reading a lot of Shakespeare, where you can understand kind of what this means. So I did something I normally don't do. I went to another version, and actually, I really like the ESV version. I've been reading a little bit on the side. It's still... rely mostly on the King James, but I like the ESV. It says this, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." So God set up the parameters, right, for a human reproduction. One man, one wife, together, right? And so he actually set it up for us, didn't he? This is my favorite verse we learned again this morning, Psalms 139, verse 14. "I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Wonderfully made not only tells us what the word actually means, full of wonder, but it also has a connotation that each and every one of us are truly unique. And you know, science tells us we're all truly unique in our DNA. Even identical twins are not truly identical. There's enough changes and differences in them, even within their DNA, that each individual is truly unique. There's been nobody like you from the beginning. There won't be till the end. Each and every one of us individuals are completely unique. Now, we all have the DNA to make us human, but within that DNA, there's enough slight changes and differences that it makes us unique, wonderfully made. Every human cell actually has 46 chromosomes, except for the male seed and the female seed, which each have 23 right in here. So this is an adult cell. This is a female cell, and we have the same thing, male, 46 chromosomes. Chromosomes are just coiled strands of DNA. DNA, again, is the building code of life, has all the information. And you look at the chromosomes in DNA, and they come in pairs. And so this is the 46 are in pairs, so you actually have 23 pairs here to get the 46 right in here. Now, we have people here that can probably help us out. Are we looking at a male or female right in here? Can you tell by looking up there? We're looking at a male, right? This is where the difference of the sexes come in, the male and the female is right here. It's in this chromosome, the pair of chromosomes here. The male has the XY chromosome. That makes the male part, but the female, I apologize for the way I remember things because of my memory. I've always had to kind of sometimes put word pictures. I used to bowl a lot, so I always put a word picture of the female with two strikes. Not two strikes against them, two strikes for them, all right? Say this right. So the female has two X's. Now what happens is we have the splitting of pairs, and when these two unite, if an X of the male unites with the X of the female, it has no choice. It's always going to be X of the female, right? If it joins with the X of the female, so you have an X of X, what are you going to have? You're going to have a baby girl. But if you have the Y chromosome of the male unite with the X chromosome of the female, what are you going to have? You're going to have a boy. And that's where the sexes are determined, right through that those chromosomes right in there, XY chromosomes. Now, the process of reproduction. This is junior high stuff. This is what I learned in junior high. This is how I was essentially taught. The process of reproduction. We have a male seed. They use different terminologies. I'm going to make it very generic and kind of clean it up a little bit. Well, we learned this in junior high. We have the male seed, which is half the complement of the chromosomes in the cell, half of them, so 23. Same thing with adult female. We actually have the female seed as 23 chromosomes. So this is very important because this is an addition problem. When they come back together, 23 plus 23 makes what? Makes the 46 of the human. Now, this is very important because if you get a different count, chromosome count, it can be very, very dangerous for the baby. Normally, too many chromosomes, babies don't even live past that. All right? So it's very, very important. And by the way, the 46 makes us unique. Apes have 48. We have 46. But we'll look at that a little bit different. But then, the male seed and the... Here we go. Male seed come together at conception, and now right then is when they become a unique individual. So we have the 23, 23 coming back together to make 46. Right now we have all the information to make, if it will go through the whole cycle, to become an adult human being. Through that whole cycle right in there. All the information is that one cell. Now, they try to say we look like animals at this point right in here. The animals have just a single cell also, but very rapidly after that, that the cells start reproducing. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Through what they call embryonic cell division, they start reproducing themselves, but then some of them start changing enough to make different body parts and everything like that. So we have embryonic cell division. It continues on until it starts forming in what the biology books calls a fetus. Now, this morning we already talked about a fetus, how the world is using that word fetus. Right? For example, here's another example of it in Matthew 1:18. Now, this is talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with fetus, I think that should have said, all right, of the Holy Ghost. Is that what the Bible says? No. We can use this biological term. We can argue it in the courts all we want. But that is not what the Bible says. It always says with child. I should have put with fetus, but it actually should have been. It is with child. It is actual what the Bible actually says. It is 100% human. I believe that with all of my heart. And then it goes through the whole process of development within the womb, and then we have birth to the infant stage. Then the infant turns into adolescent, then goes up in the human. And this is the whole thing of reproduction. Sounds real simple, doesn't it? It's not. It is so far from simple. But essentially, this is how I was taught in junior high, something very simple like that. When I began to looking at this, I was really overwhelmed with some of this stuff. By the way, I can't think of his name. His name starts with a G. Guziani or something like that. I think he's been here and spoke at the Creation Science Fellowship. He's with ICR right now. I got a lot of this information from him. Randy, I can't think of his name right now. If anybody wants to know, I can give you on here. I've got notes on it. All right. Sounds simple, but it's anything but simple. All right. Now, this is a disclaimer. I know there's a lot of people that don't like science. And I'm going to be throwing some stuff at you right now, and I'm not here to scare you. Normally at this time, when you have a lot of people, I have the deacons or elders stand at the back and block the way to keep you seated, just so we can keep you through this. Especially little old ladies, don't always like to be talking about reproduction. And it's okay, though, because I'm not trying to scare you anything, all right? What I'm hoping you understand, though, whether you understand the stuff I'm getting ready to share with you right now or not, is what I hope you understand at the end, that you'll realize there's absolutely no chance that you happen by chance and accident. There's so much design and in reproduction that you had to have been created by somebody intelligent. So that's what I want to look at. We have to begin with the DNA. Now, DNA is actually, not many of us can say it very good, deoxyribonucleic acid. See, I can't say it very good. So we all call it DNA. Acronym DNA. But this is the building code of life. There's a few things about it. Nobody's ever seen it, but we know quite a bit about it today. In a single cell, if you stretch out your DNA, it'll be about 3 foot long. In a little tiny cell, stretch it out, 3 foot of DNA. It actually contains over 6 billion steps. Now, we're talking about 6 billion steps of information that tells you who you are. If all the DNA in a single human body were laid end to end, they believe it would actually stretch out over 1 billion miles. So this little tiny stuff that tells you who you are is pretty phenomenal when you really look at it. Now, what they have determined is this. If you take enough of that DNA that is so small, put it in a pinhead, just the size of a pinhead in here, cram all that full of DNA, and then take that DNA and read all the information of it and write it in the book form, you would actually end up with 500 stacks of books full of information on a pinhead of your DNA. But those stacks, you'd have 500 stacks that went clear to the moon. on a pinhead of DNA. Now, we get pretty excited with our new DVD technology, our new computers and everything, but they still pale in comparison to what the information that can be packed into DNA. It's an amazing thing, that DNA. Right? Now, DNA complete, without DNA complete and fully functional, you're not even going to get past this point right in here. Right? You have to have that information right from the very beginning or you won't get past that. So, if you can't get DNA right from the beginning, complete and functional, sorry, you never were. Now, here's what we're going to do the rest of this talk here. Every time the little frowny face comes up, we're going to put a little frowny face over on the side. So we're going to keep count of how many times something had to be in place already working, or we're not even going to get past that point. And to help us out to remember to really drive it home, every time the frowny face comes up, will you turn to somebody next to you and say, sorry, you never were. So will you do that for me right now? Turn to somebody and say, sorry, you never were. Right. Now, every year, usually at the beginning of this, you're pretty strong in that. At the end, you're going to fade, but I'll try to boost you back up, okay? Now, DNA by itself is no good. It has to have a container to survive within. It doesn't have all the stuff it needs to survive on its own. So what is it in? It's actually in a cell. And we discovered the cell is very, very complex. I already talked about this morning, so I'm not going to hang on it too much. Right, but what is the likelihood of a living cell happening by chance and accident? Well, statistically, they figured out that life happening by itself was only one chance in 10 to the 40,000th power. If you remember, we're looking at zeros behind the number one, 40,000 zeros. They're guessing today there's 10 to the 79th power of electrons, those tiny things we can't even see in the universe. And that's what that number looks like. But 10 to the 40,000th power, 505 more boxes full of zeros like that behind that number one. And that's the chances. Understand, this is that many tries, 10 to the 40,000th, one with 40,000 zeros, that many tries or attempts, right, to get it right. But there will only be one time you actually get it right. Science tells us also anything larger than 10 to the 50th is impossible to happen by chance and accident. We're looking at 10 to the 40,000th. So what do probabilities tell us? What did we learn this morning? What's the chances of you happening by chance and accident? Zero. Actually, absolutely zero. It looks like you were done by design. So, sorry, you're getting ahead of me now. Oh, good. I'm glad. This is good. Right? So without everything in place and in working order, you got ahead of me. Here we go. Sorry, you never were. Thank you. Oh, I'm getting all excited. I'm getting dry. Turn to somebody and say one more time, just for practice, sorry, you never were. Huh? You know, I have never woke up in the morning yet and said, told myself, sorry, I'm here today. I haven't. At least since I can remember being a Christian. When I wake up in the morning, I say, praise the Lord, I'm still alive, you know. So it's a whole different mindset, isn't it, all right? Now, the voyage of the male seed begins with a male gland. Now, this gland is very important. It's within this gland that the male seed is actually produced. So I'm not going to go into this male gland, everything that goes on inside this male gland. But we have to understand, right from the very beginning, if this male gland was not in place, fully functioning, working right from the very beginning, here we go, sorry, you never were. Now, when we actually look within the male gland itself, we find there's some very special cells that come together. And you can actually see each one of these pie-shaped things are actually a cell. They're actually called Sertoli cells. We're going to talk about in a minute. But they actually come together in a tubular manner right in here. And this is very important because this tube is like a straw. This is very important because this is a transportation system. We're going to get to the point in a minute we make male seeds. But making male seeds, if you can't transport them to get them to where they belong or where they need to go, you're dead in the water right there. So you have to have this in place even before you make the male seed. So you can't make male seed and say, uh-oh, what am I going to do now? You already have to have the transportation system in place working, don't you? So these cells come together and make these tubules. And without that in place, working right from the very beginning, sorry, you never were. Now we're going to look at those little cells themselves called Sertoli cells. This is two of them that are linked together. They're kind of amazing because they can take immobile cells. Our cells in our body aren't moving. They're pretty much static. They're right in place. But these Sertoli cells can actually absorb one of the cells that are around them, the adult cell with the 46 chromosomes. They can actually pull it inside of itself. Without that ability to actually pull that cell within the Sertoli cells that are going to be turned into male seeds, without that ability, you're not going to get past that point right in there. So, sorry, you never were. Now another amazing thing happens is the cell with the 46 chromosomes comes up. Now we need multiples. We're going to find out at the end we need multiple male seeds. So we have to somehow be able to reproduce, double up very quickly to make lots of male seeds. So what we actually have, first of all, happens is, almost like embryonic cell division, we actually have that cell split where one cell goes into one Sertoli cell and the other cell goes into the other Sertoli cell, but these now still have 46 chromosomes. Again, it's very important to get that full information to both of these cells right in here. Without that being able, what we call that embryonic cell division, or cell division in this part, whatever we want to call it, not embryonic yet because we're not at the embryonic stage, but cell division. You can tell I'm not a biologist, though. But anyway, without that, working right from the very beginning, that process of cell splitting, you're not going to get past that point. So, sorry, you never were. And now we get down to the mathematical part. We now have to get that 46 split into half and half, 23 chromosomes. So now we actually have this 46 chromosome cell split where each one of these little half cells now, they're not really half cells, they're full cells, but they only have half the information, only 23 chromosomes of information. Remember all those pairs? All those pairs split, we get half of them go to one cell and half of them to the other. Again, that's very important because of the end product, 23 plus 23. So if we can't get past that point right in there, we're not going to get past that point. So, sorry, you never were. Everything had to be working right here, right from the very start. Now we have a problem here because we have blood. Blood is out here. Blood is very important. It carries nutrients and things like that. But it also, our blood has an immune system. And here's the problem for the male seed. The male seed does not start being produced until the male's puberty. So when they come along, the immune system that's within blood sees the male seed as the enemy. And what's the immune system all about? Kill, 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 kill. Protect yourself. So now it sees the male seed. It doesn't recognize any of the markers on it, so what's it going to do? It's going to kill it. So the only way you can keep it from killing the male seed is not let it come into contact with the blood that has that immune system in it. So there are tight junctions right in there between these cells so the blood cannot get up within here, up into where the male seeds are. Without those tight junctions in there, you're not going to get past this point because the male seed is going to be killed by the immune system right away. So without those tight junctions in place, working right from the very beginning, sorry, you never were. But now we have what we call a catch-22. Y'all know what cells need? They need the nutrients, don't they? And where do they get the nutrients? From the blood, that's right. But now we have a problem because there's no blood getting to the male seeds. So how does it get its nutrients? Well, there's an amazing thing in here. It turns out that the blood coming by, the Sertoli cells will pull in that nutrition that they normally would to feed themselves, but they'll only use a portion of it. They'll actually take part of it and split it off and then pass that on to the male seed. I think it's one of the only cells we know that will actually do that, will share some of its nutrition with the surrounding cells, as far as they know. And I could be wrong, but what I've read so far, that's what I found out. So, without that, being able to take that nutrition and pass it on to the male seed, you're not going to get past that way because the male seed has to have nutrition to live, doesn't it? So, without that in place, sorry, you never were. Oops, let me get my smiley frowny face up here. Ooh, don't want to call it smiley face. Anyway, now what we have is amazing transformation. We have that little tiny round dot with the 23 chromosomes of information in there, and now the Sertoli cell actually works on it and changes it into a what we would call a lean swimming machine. We actually comes out from that. It changes the shape, becomes very streamlined. We actually have a tail, what they call a flagellum out here, and it comes into a lean swimming machine, because this is what it's actually going to be doing in a little while. It's actually going to be swimming right in there. Without that whip-like tail right in there, without it being able to transform into that shape right here, we're not going to even get past that point because the male seed cannot transport ahead. So without that in place, right from the beginning, this change right in here, you're not going to get past there. So, sorry, you never were. Now, I want to look at the male seed just itself just very quickly. It's just three major parts, really. We have the tail of what they call the flagellum that is going to be turned on eventually, not right at this point, but it's actually going to be turned on where it moves. This is actually the energy section here. These little dots here are what they call mitochondria. These actually take the nutrients and everything around the cell, absorb it, and then change it into usable energy so that this flagellum can actually move like a little machine. And then right here, the purple thing, this is the DNA. That's the 23 chromosomes. But this is very interesting. Right at the tip up in here of the male seed, at the head of it right in here, there's a little, very highly erosive enzymes. These erosive enzymes are going to be used clear at, almost right at conception. When I talk about erosive enzymes, how many of you ever changed your battery and got the battery acid on you? It'll eat your clothes up or eat you up. And that's essentially what this is. These are so erosive, they will eat the male seed and the male reproductive organs and everything. It's that erosive. So there has to be something protecting up so that this erosive enzyme doesn't eat up the male. Well, it has that. There's actually this protective coating all around that enzyme. Without that protective coating in place right from the very beginning, you're not going to get past this part at all. You're, in fact, going to destroy the manhood or the male, all right? It's going to actually eat up all the male seeds and everything else, so you're not going to get past this point. So you have to have this protective coating. Otherwise, what? Sorry, you never... You never were. Now, well, this next process was so complicated. It all has to do with the production of testosterone. And this, we have all kinds of different glands and the brain sending signals up, going back to different glands to keep the testosterone, what they call the male gland, I guess, or to keep it at the right level. And this is really important for reproduction, for the reproduction of the male seed. But it's such a complex thing. Signals are sent out, things are shut on and off all the time. So what I did, instead of looking at every one of them, I counted to what the minimum. There's probably more than what I actually put in here, but the minimum I could count, there are at least 9 different steps, 9 different hormones, glands, and proteins you have to have working in place right then, already, or you're not going to get past this point. So without these in place, sorry, 9 sorries, you never were. Now we actually get where the male seed is actually placed with inside the woman. And now what we find is the male seed has found itself in a very hostile environment. I'm talking literally chemical, physical, and mechanical warfare. The female's body is now going to fight all the way with this stuff, right, to try to keep it out, to protect the female body. And so it's a warfare that goes on. And this is amazing to me. I don't know how evolution could ever get past what we're going to go through right in here. We actually have chemicals within the female body that are fighting against the male chemicals and everything. But we also see them working together hand in hand in just a minute. Within the female body, we actually have a very acidic environment. And this is to protect a female so that the bacteria... not all bacteria is bad, but what happens many times if bacteria expands too fast or gets too much of it one time, it will actually be very harmful. It not to the point it can actually kill the female. And if you kill the carrier of the baby to start with, you see you have a problem, don't you? All right, so you have to be able to protect that environment. Well, that's what the female body has. It has an acid environment. Without this acidic environment, the bacteria could overgrow and it could kill the female, and you never get past that point right in there. So, with all that acidic environment in place, sorry, you never were. But now we have a catch-22, because the acidic environment is so acidic that it will actually kill the male seed. So you see a problem here? Well, here's the amazing thing. The fluid that is actually carrying the male seed's not doing along. There's a fluid that's encapsulated it that's actually carrying it along. Within the male seed, there's actually chemicals where it actually makes it alkaline. So the alkalinity actually temporarily neutralizes the female acid. By that neutrality, now it can go on without being squashed by the acid. Without that alkalinity. Now remember, start thinking about this. We have a male and female. We have different compositions, chemical. The male has one chemical. The female has another type of chemical. And yet, right, they're at war with each other, but yet there's things in place to get beyond this. Now most of the time, it'll never get beyond, but certain times during the woman's cycle, it will actually, this will actually be allowed to happen, to go on through here. Think about that. Two different individuals that, how did they know to do this? Keep that in the back of your mind all the time. Right? So without that neutrality, you're not going to get past this point right in here. Sorry, you never were. Thank you. Thank you for keeping me honest right in here. Now the resulting neutral environment now activates the male seed. At this point right in here, the male seed was essentially just being transported along by the male fluid. But now this alkalinity, it's like the NASCAR and all that. Gentlemen, start your engines. This is what happens right in here. Right now, gentlemen, start your engines now. The male seeds, little flagellum, starts their engines. They actually start moving now and pushing them in the forward direction. Again, you have to have this propelling to go forward, as you're going to see in a minute. So without that in place, without that activation in place, right from the very beginning, sorry, you never were. Okay? Now we find another barrier within the female. Within the opening of the womb of the female, there's actually a mucus plug. And this blocks the opening to the womb, keeps all the harmful stuff out, bacteria and things like that. So what happens is the male fluid comes up and encounters this barrier. It's like a dam right in the way. It cannot get past this point. But there's another amazing chemical. And when you start looking at this male fluid that's carrying the male seed and everything, you need to start realizing all the things. You're going to see some more things. The different chemicals that are carried in that male fluid that reacts on the female's body. When I'm looking at that, I realize at the end of that, man, we have a chemical engineer genius that figured all this out. And he had to figure it out before it even happened because it all had to be in place or you're not going to get past this point. There's actually a substance within the male fluid that will actually turn this semi-solid mucus thing into a liquid now so that the male fluid can actually penetrate and flow through that mucus plug. Without that in place, it's not going to get past there, so sorry, you never were. Amazing thing also is that, and I don't have it up there, but also as the male seed is going through that mucus plug in the male fluid, it's actually taking the ingredients from the female plug. The mitochondria in the male seed is taking the ingredients from there and using the nutrition to help keep that flagellum and those little tails whipping up to keep it going in forward motion. So it's like a snack bar as it's going through right in there too, okay? I've never said that before. I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry. Anyway, now the womb. The female womb is amazing. It's protected by millions of cells. She has an immune system within her womb. And what's the immune system all about? Kill, kill, kill. It is there for protection of the female, the womb and the female herself, right in here. And it's to kill microscopic invaders. And so they see the male seed as the male seed approaches. They see the male seed and say, we do not recognize this. This is the enemy. What is our job? Kill. The male seed should not be able to get past this point. But there's some another amazing chemical, another amazing substance within the male fluid. It actually takes and it actually blunts the immune response. It essentially turns the immune response in just a local area of the female's immune system off so that it can then pass through there. The fluid and the male seed going through there. Without that ingredient again, right, from another chemical engineer. There you go. Thank you. Sorry, you never. Well, that's good. That reminds me to hit my clicker. Sometimes I forget. I get so excited and I have fun with this one anyway. Now, this is a problem, though, because now you just shut off the immune system of the female. Now what can happen? Well, bacteria coming along with the fluid then might be able to then penetrate, and then it might affect the female. But amazingly, there is another substance within the male fluid that will actually, on contact within that area, will actually kill bacteria. So it's coming on, it's shutting hers off, but it's saying, okay, but we're going to help you out, right? We've got a substance in here that is going to kill that bacteria, so you'll still be all right. Now, how did that male fluid know it needed that one, right? When I look at that, I'm just awestruck, understand it never could happen by chance and accident. You can't get past that point. Sorry, you never were. And then during certain cycles of the woman, we have in her womb, the muscles along the side begin to contract and begin to push outward. And the womb is actually lined with these little bitty tiny hairs that we call cilia. These cilia, during a certain period also, as the muscles start contracting, pushing out, the cilia will also set up such a strong flow to push everything out of the womb, essentially. A very, very strong flow out of the womb. Now we have a problem because the male fluid's coming up with the male seed swimming along inside of it, but now it hits this flow, this upstream flow that is so strong, it actually cannot get past that flow. But here we go. There's another substance, another chemical makeup within the male fluid that actually will take and trigger the cilia to change the direction. So now it actually helps, flows in. It helps pull the male fluid into the female's womb now and changes the muscle direction too. If that didn't happen, you're not going to get past that point. So, sorry, you never were. Now we get to the point, now the male seed is in the presence of the female seed, is what we call the egg. Now this is something, there's a lot of this that I did not know, but this is something I didn't know. I thought, well, it's over. We have now the male seed just goes and attaches and whoopee, we got a kid, right? No. It turns out that the male seed, right at this point, can't do anything on its own. From this point on, it has to have the help of chemicals and everything within the female seed, within the egg, to be able to do the job that it was created to do clear back at the beginning. And now it takes the chemistry of the female for it all to work together. Ponder that one at night sometime. Figure out how that happened by chance and accident. Oops, here we go. All right. Many of these features are actually changed by substances that are made within the female reproductive tract. Now we have the male seed coming up. And remember that protective coating we had on there? It's carrying the enzyme. Now, this enzyme is very important. The enzyme, the whole thing, why it was there to start with, remember it was created clear back at the beginning? We're going to talk about it in a second, but it has that protective coating. What that enzyme is actually going to do in just a second, after we get the protective coating off, it's actually going to start chewing through this outside protective layer around the female seed or around the egg. This is a protective layer. It takes that erosive enzyme to eat through that stuff right in here. So it was already in place, the erosive enzyme, but now we have to get rid of that protective coating. Well, there's actually chemicals within the female, right, that actually remove that protective coating. Without that in place, you're never going to get reproduction. So, sorry, you never were. Now, understand the protective coating is released. The enzymes can only chew down a little bit, can only eat a little bit away. That's why it takes multiple male seed, because they're very, very tiny, so it takes a lot of them with their erosive enzymes to actually go out. But again, it's that erosive enzyme that's eating away at that. If we didn't have that erosive enzyme made clear back at the beginning, when it was made in the male, we get up this point, nothing's going to work. So again, we had to have that erosive enzyme made clear back at the very beginning, or you're never going to get to this point. So, sorry, you never were. Now, after contacting the egg, the erosive enzymes for many male seeds, they actually finally break through this protective coating right in here. Right? And actually what we find, there's on the cell, well, first of all, you have to get the erosive enzyme. I got ahead of myself. Without the erosive enzyme, sorry, you never were. I forget what the other one was. You guys probably read it. I just said it wrong. Anyway, all right? So we have one more step in there I forgot about. So help me out here. Sorry, you never were. Now what happens is we have several blocks that are going to take place. And these blocks are very important because these are a fail-safe for the female and for the baby that's going to be conceived here shortly. These fail-safes, it's very, very important to only have one male seed connect up with the female seed. If you don't, you get too many chromosomes or damaged chromosomes and you destroy the baby and sometimes the female. Or a lot of mutations happen that you really don't want. So there's some fail-safes actually built in. Some blocks that prevent the genetic material from more than one male seed entering that egg and everything. And without those in place, you're probably not going to get past that point. So here's one of them right here. Around the, underneath that protective coating on the outside of the female seed, the egg, we actually have on the head of the male seed, we actually have a protein called a bindon, but right down here there's some special species-specific receptors. Try to say that fast real quick. All right. What this is these receptors will only allow human DNA to attach. Only allow human male seed to attach. It will not allow any other type of seed to attach. During World War I, in Russia and in Germany, they were trying to take ape seed and introduce it to female human seed to produce that missing link they've been looking for. But they never could do it. Why? Because there's fail-safes built in right in here. Only the human seed can actually unite with the female human seed. So that's what those protective bindings and receptors are all about right in there. So without those in place, you're not going to get past this point, by the way. So, sorry, you never were. And we're almost at the end here, all right? Now, at the same time, less than a second after the male seed breaks through, we actually have an electrical charge set off. The female seed actually produces electrical charge, and what it essentially does is zaps all the other seeds that are trying to attach themselves to the outside of the egg. Kind of gives them a little zap and helps knock them off. Again, that's one of those fail-safes. Without that in place, it could be another seed might get through. So this is another fail-safe to try to make sure only one gets through. So without this extra fail-safe, it could be more than one. So then you wouldn't be who you are. So, sorry, you never were. Now, at the same time the electrical charge goes off, all these receptors, these binding receptors right in here, they're turned off. Their switches are chunk. So now anything actually touches them, it doesn't matter because they will not link up like they did before. So again, another failsafe. Without that being able, that ability to turn that off, again, more than one seed gets through and you would not be who you are. So sorry, you never were. And now one more failsafe goes on. The water molecules inside the female seed actually bind together and swell. So essentially what it does, it actually takes the female seed and swells and blows it up like a bloom. You put things on the outside of it, blow it up big enough, pop, 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 they pop up. So it's another fail-safe to ensure, try to ensure that only one seed makes it through. Because if more than one seed get through there, you're not going to be who you are. So, sorry, you never were. And now we were almost there. So close. One more step. Now there's one more step that has to take place. The male seed releases the genetic material, the 23 chromosomes. The nucleus of the female seed has the 23 chromosomes. Now they can come in and just bump into each other all they want, and they would never unite. But here's another amazing thing we see. Right at that point, when all this is going on, it's going on very rapidly, the female nucleus with her 23 chromosomes actually make little fingers on that nucleus. It reaches out, opens up, and grabs a hold of the male seed and absorbs it and pulls it in within itself. Without those little fingers being able to pull that male seed in, we're not going to get past that point either. So, sorry, you never were. So what do we have here? We have you at one time. Rika, we have conception. A new person right there. Is that amazing? I look back and I can never understand why I can never see the complexity of who we are. And we're just looking at reproduction. My next talk, well, I haven't got it finished yet. You're not going to get to hear it yet, all right? But then it's forming in the womb. It's an amazing, amazing process. And this is a simplified. It's even more complicated than what I gave you. There's even more strikes against us happening by chance and accident, all right, than I gave you right in here. But look how many we have. If you count them up, we've got 34 strikes against us. Now, you don't like numbers? I like numbers. I like statistics. But I don't know what the statistics are of this there. 34 strikes against all this stuff come together. I mean, we go right back to DNA and the statistics. It happened by chance and actually overwhelming. And yet all these other things put on top of it. 34 strikes, though, of you never being who you are. Never getting past the point of reproduction. When I look at that, I'm in awe and I understand. All right, now, you can go out in evolutionary literature and read all kinds of speculation, guesses. None of them are based on science. They are all just speculation out there, how this could be. And I don't think they answer at all. But I think there is an answer. It's one of faith, but I think that's all right sometimes. I believe the best explanation is they are all placed in us right from the very beginning by our Creator, by Lord Jesus. Right from the very beginning. So in Adam and Eve, fully functional right from the very beginning. I believe that is a better answer than chance and accident. Oh yeah, it's a step of faith, but it's a step that I think makes more sense than what I was taught and what I used to believe. Isaiah 44:24a. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things. Psalms 139:14, we're going to end with it tonight. I will praise thee. I will praise thee for a fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I'm hoping tonight you understand that you were created by God. There's absolutely no chance that you happened by evolution. I hope you understand that.